Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Mr. Sibanda, good afternoon to you.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm blessed. And yourself?
Well, fantastic, man. Keeping good, blessed as well as you are. And so we are going to be getting into this afternoon's program. I do want to say thank you so much for joining us in this show. Now, we're talking about the harassment in the workplace together with you for the next few moments. And of course, the workplace harassment epidemic has been exposed. But do you know how to look for and what to look for and what to do about it if you're in the workplace? Well, it seems like every new week, a new company is in the news for a workplace harassment scandal. And so Mr. Sibanda is going to be sharing some insights on what constitutes harassment in the workplace. And that's where we're going to be starting, Mr. Sibanda. What actually constitutes harassment?
Zama, any form of harassment is regarded as unfair discrimination in terms of the Employment Equity Act. The term harassment in itself is not defined in the Act.
Okay.
However, the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Discrimination Act, as well as the Employment Equity Act, provide a sort of guideline.
All right.
So the definition that is given in this case is one of sexual harassment, because sexual harassment is probably one of the most common forms of harassment. The definition of sexual harassment in this case is defined as an unwelcome conduct of a sexual nature that violates the rights of an employee and constitutes a barrier to equity in the workplace. Taking into account a few factors, namely whether the harassment is on a prohibited ground, is it, for example, sex or gender or sexual orientation, whether the sexual conduct was unwelcome, the extent of the sexual conduct and the impact that the contact has on the employee.
Yeah, quite interesting. And, you know, one has to just look out at exactly what is an unwelcome contact. Very important. Because sometimes one may think that, it's just a touch on the shoulder, but it's not welcomed by the other party. Is that so?
Zama, that is actually quite interesting, because then we straddle into the forms of sexual harassment.
I see.
For instance, the forms of sexual harassment would constitute physical, verbal, non-verbal, victimization. In this case, victimization of an employee, where an employee is victimized or intimidated for failing to submit to sexual advances, what we call quid pro quo, where employment circumstances, for example, promotion or an increase, are influenced by whether or not the employee accedes to the employer's sexual advances. And there is what we call sexual favoritism, where a position, one in a position of authority in the workplace, rewards those who respond to his sexual advances. Obviously, it's crucial that I give you a picture of what we're talking about when we're talking about sexual harassment, because it's very wide. Now, in order to give you examples, I'll take you through case law, you know, throughout this discussion. I'll take you through case law. One particular case is the case of UASA on behalf of Zulu and Transnet Pipelines. In this case, the court strongly condemned sexual harassment. In this case, what happened is that a male employee sexually harassed a co-employee over a period of more than a year. He verbally abused her by calling her his wife and made repeated demands on her to have sex with him. she made it very clear to him that, look, I mean, these attempts or whatever it is, advances of yours are unwelcome. And the commissioner found that, look, this is a form of sexual harassment. In his defense, he said that, look, I mean, I'm a Zulu man, and this constitutes part of my culture as a Zulu man. I mean, I generally would make advances of a sexual nature to a person. And the commissioner disagreed with the employee in this case and said, look, even if it was a part of his culture or part of his tradition, basically these form of advances are not designated for the workplace. That is one. And secondly, one of the major issues is that these advances were unwanted, and that is one of the keys, because one of the keys is that these advances must be unwanted forms of harassment. I'll also give you another example, Zama, probably. Assuming you have been in a particular relationship with a core employee, and it comes to an extent where those benefits, should I call them, are terminated, and you continue as the other employer to initiate those advances, and they are now unwanted advances. That also constitutes a form of sexual harassment.
Yeah, quite interesting. Now, what then is a hostile work environment?
In order to answer that particular question, I'll also take you to case law. I'm liking these questions today because there's quite a lot of case law that deals with this particular questions. I'll take you to the case of Media 24 Limited and another versus Krobler. In this case, the female employee Krobler was harassed by her manager, and eventually she suffered from depression and trauma. Her complaints were ignored by her employer for months, and she did and up until she got to a point where she had to resign. The labor court in this case found that Krobler could submit a claim for discrimination in terms of the Employment Equity Act, as well as claim for automatically unfair constructive dismissal, and also on the grounds of a common law claim against the employer for vicarious liability. This kind of conduct by the employer, where the employer ignores constant complaints by an employee, constitutes a hostile working environment. A safe working environment requires that an employee must be heard by the employer, and their grievances must be taken seriously by the employer.
Now, in terms of sexual harassment in particular, of course, you've told us exactly where it gets to, where the person crosses the line. And of course, one may argue that, well, in our culture, we are able to, for instance, praise sing a woman, and you are saying that, well, there perhaps in your culture, wherever, but not in the workspace. I do want you to please just restate that for emphasis.
That is very crucial, Zama, because once one makes it very clear. I mean, you get quite a lot of people, especially when we do workshops. They ask, for instance, how do I, for instance, if I compliment a woman and I say to you, oh, wow, you look beautiful today, and things like that. And as much as compliments are innocent, one needs to be careful as to what constitutes a compliment that is welcome or a compliment that is unwelcome. Yeah. Where a compliment is unwelcome, then it constitutes harassment in this case.
Yeah, I think very important. Where a compliment is unwelcome, it constitutes harassment. Now, does harassment have to occur specifically at the workplace for it to be illegal?
Not necessarily, Zama. Like I said, I'm going to be going to case law, you know, to answer some of your questions. And I'll take you to the case of Simmers versus Campbell and Campbell Scientific, Scientific Africa, right? Mm. In this case, three employees traveled outside of South Africa for business. And after dinner, one evening, one of the males asked the female contractor whether she wanted a lover for the night. She declined. However, he persisted on his advances and asked her if she had a boyfriend and all that stuff. And this matter was reported to the employer at a later stage. That particular employee was dismissed for sexual harassment and unprofessional conduct. Mm. The labor court in that case held that the real question was whether there had been unwelcome advances of a sexual nature and found that the advances in question by the male employee were indeed of a sexual nature and constituted sexual harassment. Mm, mm, mm. The conduct was more than just an employee or a man trying his luck on a woman. So the conduct need not be within the premises of the employer. If, even when one is sent, you know, out on a work mission, and those things occur, that still constitutes a part of the workspace.
Ah. Nice, because some may argue that no, we're not even at work. How come you have no? Come, don't be dramatic, man. We're not at work and stuff like that. And I'm glad to say for you to say no. As long as you're with your colleagues, whether it is at the work premises or outside the work premises, it still constitutes that. Now, can a co-worker then, but this is now not in the working hours, it's on a weekend and a Sunday or Saturday, and these people are still working together, and this one continues to, or rather makes these, you know, sexual comments, etc. Will that still hold?
Zama, this is a very interesting question. Okay, so one, are these people within the confines of the workspace? In other words, or did they meet, for instance, in Sandton somewhere at a nightclub, mm-hmm. and this person continued with the advances? Then that is a different case,
okay.
Because that is not within the confines of the employment.
Yeah, yeah.
However, when you are on a work mission, for instance, then that will be a different ball game altogether. So whatever you do as employees, as long as it's got nothing to do with the employer and has no bearing on the employer-employee relationship, because otherwise then it becomes a form of monitoring people outside the workplace.
Mm, mm, mm. Now, if a person, happens to be a witness to harassment, they are not the victim themselves, but they've just witnessed it. Do they have that responsibility to report it, or should it lie on the person to say, this is not welcome?
Very, very interesting questions. And I'll tell you, I'll give you two sort of answers. I'll give you a lawyer answer. Mm. Right. Okay. Zama, one, where employees engage in some or other form of sexual conduct in front of a colleague, that in itself constitutes sexual harassment.
Ah, okay.
Right. So now, the question then comes, is whatever is happening between those people consensual or not consensual? Because you, as the third party witnessing this, are being sexually harassed. Remember, we said it can't be non-verbal. And you having sight of people engaging in activities that are of typically a sexual nature means that you, as the third party, are being harassed, and you can report that as being a form of sexual harassment on upon yourself.
Interesting. Now, what legal recourse can be taken when someone has been harassed?
All right. So we start off within the workplace. Within the workplace, obviously, the employer has a duty, right? In this case, to provide a safe work environment as far as reasonably practical. That duty to provide a safe working environment includes the protection of an employee against any form of harassment. Now, where an employee has been harassed, that employee must report to the employer and state, you know, the circumstances of the harassment. And the employer then has a duty to investigate. And in investigating that, there are a number of things that the employer must look at. Firstly, the Employment Equity Act provides a harassment policy. It says that a harassment policy must be compulsory for employers to, and it must be developed for the employers. It must look into, or it must stipulate a number of factors. For instance, it must stipulate that sexual harassment is a form of unfair discrimination. Sexual harassment in the workplace will not be permitted. And the recourse in this case, obviously, is that the harassing employee, which is the perpetrator, must go through disciplinary processes. Then we move on. One of the questions being, is harassment confined to the workplace? And a simple answer to that is, harassment is not confined to the workplace, right? Harassment in terms of Section 6.3 of the Prohibition of Harassment Act 17 of 2011, it provides for protection orders against people who are harassed by others. For example, there are tools that could be used, for instance, computers, laptops, cell phones, and that all those can be used in perpetrating harassment. In this case, a simple answer is that one can lodge a claim, you can lodge a harassment case with this SAPS, and the SAPS will investigate that. And where the perpetrator is found guilty, that perpetrator will be convicted. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, the victim of harassment can apply for a protection order, which affords that victim the protection, the necessary protection from the harassment.
Now, let's wrap up our conversation, Cindy. So, you know, as we actually take this very last question, can taking that particular legal question, the one that you actually just spoke about and the scenarios that you've mentioned, can it not lead to further punishment or harassment, especially when the alleged perpetrator has the power in the organization? You know, that this person is a senior, is a boss, is a supervisor, manager to this other one. It could lead to some sort of a perpetrated stuff, won't you think?
Look, that is true. However, there are measures, obviously, that are put to protect victims of, sexual harassment, or victims of harassment in general. The employer in this case will be deemed liable for a contravention by its employee if the employer does not follow the procedure that is required And cannot prove that they did follow the or provide reasonably practical solutions for the employee. I will also take you to another case. It's the case of Nsabo versus Real Security. In this case, a female employee was sexually harassed by her supervisor who would touch her and make sexual proposals to her. In this case, the labor court, after finding that that constitutes sexual harassment, it awarded that employee compensation for unfair dismissal in terms of the Labor Relations Act, because that employee was actually dismissed by the company. After, obviously, it was a form of victimization on her part, because she did not accede to the supervisor's advances. This case, that employee was said by the labor court to have been unfairly dismissed in terms of the Labor Relations Act, and she was awarded with damages in terms of the Employment Equity Act and medical costs, as well as the general damages.
And reinstated, that were paid. And reinstated to their work?
In this case, I didn't necessarily go through deeply into the case whether the employee was reinstated. Some of these cases form very, very difficult, I suppose, nuances, because once there is a sexual harassment claim and things like that, it depends on the relationship between the employer and employee. In this case, an employee who's been harassed may not be in a position where she wants to go back to the very same environment she has been harassed.
Yeah. Well, Cindy, so I must say thank you so much, man, for joining us. What an insightful, conversation there. Thank you so much for your time. And we want to ask the Lord to bless you. And those who have been listening, there you have it. If you're in the workplace and you are, exposed to such, whether you are in a position of being harassed or you are seeing someone being harassed, you've got the responsibility to report that. Cindy So Sibanda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sama.
Fantastic, thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.